Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Three Inning Save Podcast. This is Eric Steven. This is a special one-off episode with Shohei Ohtani signing with the Dodgers this week. We talked about it on the last episode, but this is a special episode for you. This is an interview with Jeff Fletcher. He writes for the Southern California News Group and the Orange County Register specifically, and has covered the Angels for a number of years, including the first 6 years of Shohei Ohtani's career. I talked to him about covering Shohei Ohtani, what to look for, and how to buy Jeff's book, which he wrote about Shohei Ohtani, and you'll hear in the interview how to purchase that book, because I think it is something you'll want to read if you want to know the most interesting player in baseball. So without further ado, here's my interview with Jeff Fletcher about the newest Dodger, Shohei Ohtani.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
Chumba.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, with me today is Jeff Fletcher. He writes for the Southern California News Group at the Orange County Register, covers the Angels. He has a book titled Showtime, The Inside Story of Shohei Ohtani and the Greatest Baseball Season Ever Played, which might be relevant to some Dodgers fans because he just signed. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you, Eric?
Awesome. This has been a very weird week, just how everything sort of went down with the trade. It's weird because, you know, Shohei Ohtani very easily is like the most famous baseball player in the world, but I think also not a lot of people know a lot about him. I don't know, not necessarily like personally, that's part of it, but like, can you just off the top, I guess, for those who aren't familiar with Shohei Ohtani, what exactly do you think the Dodgers are getting in Shohei Ohtani?
Well, I mean, obviously he is, when he's healthy and at his best, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball and one of the best hitters in baseball, which is amazing. You know, it's nothing short of amazing. It's not just, you know, a guy who's sort of good at one. You know, he's really elite at both. Now, obviously, the pitching part is a little bit of a question because he just had another Tommy John surgery. But, you know, I wouldn't put it past him to come back and be just as good as he was before. And I think the thing that people probably don't know about him is how he does this. And it's just incredible amount of talent to begin with. But then he's got a work ethic that is really off the charts, and not just the quantity of the work he does, but the efficiency of it, because there's not enough hours in the day really to be a good pitcher and hitter unless you know exactly what you need to do and not make one more throw than you need or take one more swing than you need. And that's really what he's mastered over these years that he's been doing both so well for the Angels.
I know, you know, coming over to the Angels in 2018, there was obviously a lot of unknown. No one's really ever done, you know, both pitching and hitting at least full time or with any success at the same time in like over a century at least. And he was, you know, very steadfast in wanting to do both. And what do you think it was that made him choose the Angels in sort of, I guess, fostering that, being able to do both?
Well, it seems like from his final teams that he picked, the seven teams, five of them were on the West Coast. So It seems pretty much like he wanted to be on the West Coast. And it also seemed pretty much like he wanted to be a DH, because at the time there was no DH in the National League. And, you know, if he really were going to hit full time, he would have needed to play outfield or something when he wasn't pitching, which I don't think he really wanted to do. So right there, that pretty much eliminates, makes it the Angels and Mariners. Obviously, the Oakland A's, I don't think were really, they were not a finalist. but if you look at the Angels and Mariners, you know, it's Southern California, big payroll, Mike Trout, you know, it all kind of made sense at that time. And obviously, Billy Epler was the general manager of the Angels at the time, super personable guy, can like sell anybody on anything. I think he really swayed Ohtani. So I think when you add all that up, that's how he ended up with the Angels. It's certainly an interesting question. If the DH had been in the National League in 2018, maybe he would have been with the Dodgers then. So who knows?
And, you know, he's been through, I guess, this specific scenario before with his first Tommy John surgery at the end of the 2018 season. And then he was just a hitter in 2019. I'm saying this, it's funny because, you know, saying he's just a hitter, I know maybe 2019 he wasn't where he's at now, but he's, if he's just a hitter, he's already like you know, one of the best hitters in baseball just on its own. It just feels funny to talk about him in a way where he's only hitting, you know, it almost discounts what he does. Yeah.
I do got to say that if you look at his 2019 hitting stats, they were pretty ordinary. I mean, I think that what he said, or what, you know, there were a lot of people around him that thought in retrospect that because he couldn't pitch and he was only a DH, he really just kind of overdid it and just drove himself crazy swinging. And when, you know, something would start to go wrong with his swing, he would just go in the cage and take like a million swings, and that's just not good for him. And so I think that's why, you know, there's this sort of narrative that, oh, you know, if he just picked one or the other, think of how much better he would be. And then obviously, if you look at, you know, in 21, 22, and 23, when he was doing both, he was better at both from doing both. So I think that the real interesting thing to see in 24 is going to be, what did he learn from 2019 as far as how to handle himself as just a hitter? Because he's going to be in the same situation again. So I think certainly, you know, if he comes out and hits whatever he did in 2017, if it's 22 homers with a 870 OPS for the Dodgers in 2024, I think people are probably not going to be thrilled with that for the money they're paying him, or the money they're deferring to him. But we'll see how he's learned from that, and how different things are going to be this time.
Yeah, they'd say, well, that's pretty good for a $2 million guy. you know, just the getting back to the sort of doing both thing, even, you know, it's an all-star game, it's an exhibition, but going through, I'm losing track of which year this was, but the year he did the home run derby and then started the next, I know it's an all-star game, it's only one inning, but just the physicality of that is like astonishing to me. Like, you know, going through that sort of a process, like that's pretty amazing.
That was 21 and it was in Coors Field.
God. Yeah.
So I remember, Max Muncy, was there at that all-star game, and he had previously been in a home run derby, and he said, I don't know how he's doing this because it takes it out of you to play in this place. And, to be able to do home run derby in this atmosphere is incredible. And then to come out and pitch the next day is really, it's really wild. So, that was just a pretty incredible display he put on in those 2 days. And, I'm not surprised that he chose not to do it again when he was back at the All-Star game in 22 and 23. He said, like, I'll let somebody else pitch, and I'll let somebody else do the home run derby. I'm just here to have a good time, get a couple of bats, and, move on.
As we're recording this, it's the day before he's going to be introduced at Dodger Stadium at a press conference. And I was stunned to learn this around the, I guess this must have been around the time the awards came out, because I think you mentioned it. Sam Blum might have mentioned it too. But he hasn't talked to reporters since like August something.
August 9th.
Exactly? Wow. That seems remarkable to me, especially, I mean, part of it, like he didn't play for the last, what, 3 weeks of the season, but even that, like that seems odd. But you know this sort of goes into the how we don't know a ton about Shohei Ohtani, just sort of just generally, but you know you wrote the book on him. It's a very good book from what I've heard. I have not read it yet, but again, this is, you know, something I'm definitely looking forward to getting into. But is there something about Shohei that, you know, we see just watching him play? Is there something that people might not know about him that you can sort of share with us?
I mean, I think one of the things that you really get when you watch a lot of him and not just the highlights is he really is having a good time out on the field. You see him joking around with players on the other team, clearly in English, obviously. And, you know, he's kind of so happy to be doing what he's doing. One of my favorite little Ohtani scenes was when he was in a little bit of a hitting slump in 2022. And he was started doing CPR on his bat in the dugout. Huh. And everybody got a kick out of that, and it, you know, went viral and everything like that. So that's just kind of the guy he is. He's just a really fun-loving teammate, player to be around. Guys on other teams like him. So all that kind of goes, you know, doesn't show up on the stats.
And just from afar, I haven't, covered him in person or anything. I know I've been at a few like Dodgers Angels games with him there, but, you know, covering the other side, just from the other dugout, it seems like so many other players and like even Dave Roberts, they sort of speak of him, you know, reverently just because everyone is like in awe of what he's doing. Like, I think they sort of see it too in that respect.
Yeah. I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, we can all sit out here and talk about how amazing it is what Ohtani does, but we don't even understand it as much as the players do because mm-hmm. they know how hard it is to do just one of the things he's doing. And to be able to do both is just unbelievable. I remember talking to a starting pitcher, I forget who it was, but he said, you know, the day after I pitch, I can like barely move. And Ohtani's out there taking five at bats and batting third, you know? So it's just, it's pretty incredible.
I know in the early going, I guess it was probably, I think this was maybe in 2020. The Angels were still sort of spacing him out a little bit to where what he maybe wouldn't DH the day before or after his starts. Is that right? And they sort of got relaxed over the years.
2018 was really the year that he had significant pitching. He made about 12 starts before he hurt his elbow, and they had a pretty strict routine where he wouldn't DH the day before or after he pitched, and he wouldn't hit when he pitched. So it was basically like he would pitch on Sunday and he would bat Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and he'd be off Monday and Saturday. That's kind of a typical week for him.
Yeah. And,
2019, he didn't pitch at all. 2020, he really didn't pitch because it was a shortened season.
Yeah.
And then 2021, they finally said, like, let's forget all that. And they just played him basically every day that he said he wanted to play. And obviously, you see what happened.
Kind of trusting him to know that whether he was, you know, ready or physically ready, I guess, at that point.
Yeah, I think that Ohtani came with a reputation from Japan that they said that the Japanese people that worked with him said, you have to slow him down. You can't trust him to tell you when he needs a break. But what happened in between 2018 and 2021 was he learned a lot about himself. He got hurt, which taught him some more about himself. And he also went to Driveline in the winter before the 21 season. And so he got all this sort of empirical data that shows like when he really needed, he could measure things that would tell him when he needed a rest and when he didn't. And all that stuff went into the mix before 2021. So he was able to tell them when he needed a break and when he didn't. And it turns out he really didn't. So he pretty much played every day in the three seasons and seemed to work out.
It's hard to understate like how good and what he did these last three seasons. Like you mentioned him sort of finding that, you know, like proof of concept in the data, I guess, in this case, and obviously knowing his body. But then now he's the proof of concept that this can be done, right? Like that's the amazing part of this. I know the Dodgers have said, Dave Roberts, I believe at the winter meetings, I saw his video. I did not go, but I saw his interview, the famous interview where he said they met with Shohei Ohtani and everyone freaked out. But no, he also mentioned that, you know, they're pretty confident that, you know, he's going to pitch again. And do you sort of see that happening? Obviously, it's hard to, you know, predict the future, but you anticipate he's going to just go right back into pitching in 2025?
I'm sure that's his plan, and I certainly don't doubt it. But I would say it's not a slam dunk, and I would also say that the number of years he's going to pitch after coming back and the quality of the pitching after he comes back is a little bit of a question. At this point, there are two guys in the history of Major League Baseball who've made 100 starts after their second Tommy John surgery. Two. One of them is Nate Evaldi. And another one was Chris Capuano from a long time ago, who was never really that great. So obviously there's a pretty good group of pitchers right now who are rehabbing from their second Tommy John that everybody thinks are going to join that list. You know, in addition to Otani, there's Walker Buehler and Jacob DeGrom, McClanahan from Tampa Bay. So all these guys should theoretically be adding to the list. And, you know, as we get more into the technology and know about the rehab, you know, maybe the outcomes are a little more predictable. But as we sit here today, it's just not a huge list of people that have done it. So I think you have to kind of keep that in mind.
Another one of those two Tommy John surgery pitchers, Daniel Hudson, just as before we recorded today, he's back, going to be back with the Dodgers on a minor league deal. He had the worst luck. I'm always mixed up which knee it was, but he tore the ACL in one knee, missed a year, came back in June, then within a week sprained the other knee and he was out for the season. But like for him, his two Tommy John surgeries were a decade ago, and he carved out like 10 years of, you know, solid relief work. And maybe something like that, could be the blueprint eventually. Like if starting doesn't work out, maybe just to ease the workload or whatever.
You know, lots of people have this theory about Otani being a reliever. They think it would be easier on his arm, etc. I don't understand how he would do that if he's DHing. How's he supposed to warm up? Is he gonna? I mean, he did it in the WBC for one game, for the championship game, but I just don't think you can do it regularly. And what's going to happen if it's one of these extra inning games where your closer warms up four times because he's getting ready to come in, or you know, that kind of thing. And using him 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row is not necessarily the greatest thing for somebody who's had arm trouble. So I don't really see that as being a thing. And maybe that could be a last ditch if other stuff goes wrong, but I don't think he would like it either. So I think the whole Otani as a reliever thing is not really very realistic.
Yeah, no, that makes sense as you say it. I'm just wondering, as a hypothetical, not to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but you know, is the issue there like the simply going down to the bullpen and coming back like to warm up? Because I guess would the alternative be, could you create a situation where he's like in the batting cage, you know, near the dugout or whatever the closest one is, you know, like to warm up? Is that even feasible? Like, or is this just sort of grasping at this point? Like,
I mean, I'm sure they would try that sort of thing. You know, different ballparks have different types of, you know, batting cage arrangements, and the mounds in those things are not really the same quality that you would have in the bullpen to prepare. And, you know, it's just a whole complicated bunch of logistics that nobody else has really tackled. So I'm sure all that stuff would get experimented with, but these are questions for like 4 years from now, maybe. If he's come back in 2025 and things aren't working or he's gotten hurt again, that's when you start to talk about this stuff. But I think that his best use is just to be a regular starting pitcher and DH.
You know, going back through your career, I know you were in the Bay Area for a while and you covered Barry Bonds during like his entire home run barrage and MVP run with the Giants. The sort of media crush and sort of baseball world like ascending on that, how do you think that compares to what Otani has faced, I guess, the last couple of years?
Well, with Bonds, it really just kind of came when he was chasing records. With Otani, it's there all the time. So that's the difference, is that they're pretty much on an everyday basis. There may be 7 to 10 members of the Japanese media that are there at every single game. And then there are another 50 of them that kind of come in and out. And, you know, so the group swells and goes up and down depending on where they're going and when he's pitching and that kind of thing. So with Bonds, it was just, you know, as he'd come up to one of the records or milestone or something like that, there would be an extra 10 to 20 national media there kind of hanging around, but it's all the time with Ohtani.
In Ohtani's 6 years with the Angels, do you have a favorite moment either on the field or off covering him?
I think my favorite moment, it's like the intro to the book, is the first game he pitched of the 21 season. So at this point, you remember he was great for the first half of 18. Then he was kind of a mediocre hitter in 19. And then in 20, he got hurt again as a pitcher and was terrible as a hitter, like hit under 200. So he came out in 21 and it was like, I don't know if this is ever going to happen again. And he was pretty good in spring training. And we're like, oh, well, you know, maybe. And then the first game that he pitches of the season, in the top of the first inning, he hit 100 miles an hour like four times. And then in the bottom of the first inning, he hit a home run about 450 feet. Ball left the bat at 115 miles an hour. So obviously hardly anybody in the big leagues can do either one of those things. And certainly nobody in the big leagues does both of them. And he did both of them in about a 15-minute span of his first game of the season. So that, to me, was kind of like, oh, my God, this could really happen again. He might be back, and we might finally see what we've been waiting to see since 2018. So I'm always going to remember that moment. It was sort of like his rebirth.
Well, yeah, so he's certainly a unique player. Jeff, I can't thank you enough for joining us here. Can you tell everyone where to get your book? What's the best place for them to go to buy your book?
You can just go on Amazon. It's probably the easiest way. They also have Barnes & Noble usually has it. Anywhere you buy books, you can Google Showtime, S-H-O, Time, and my name, Jeff Fletcher. It'll pop up right there, and it's the paperback version has an extra chapter that was written after the WBC. The hardcover version just goes through the 21 season.
I see. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my hands on it. I know obviously a lot of Dodger fans will want to read that too, because great player. Knowing your work, I'm sure it's greatly chronicled in that book. So again, thanks a lot for joining us today. That's it for Three Inning Save. We will have our regular episode in a few days, but thanks to Jeff Fletcher for joining us, and we'll see you next week.